It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field, into the end zone, and Nix makes the catch for the touchdown. He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary.
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it, and they do. Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, he's back to throw. Finds the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes, Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure, Brady's chased, Brady heaves one. Down the middle of the field, into the end zone, a jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Michael Eisen.
Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. It's presented by Andrew Mark. You can listen exclusively on Giants.com or on your Giants mobile app from your Play Store, your iTunes Marketplace, all that good stuff. Make sure you check it out. And joining us this morning is Michael Eisen. Michael, how are you?
I'm great, John. How are you?
Can't wait till you can put some new highlights from the 2012 season on that open. Can we play some games already?
I love hearing us win the Super Bowl, but yeah, it's let's get to some new stuff.
Yeah.
Well, month from yesterday, we play a preseason game in Jacksonville. Maybe we could put something on from that.
A little hardcore Jacksonville Giants first preseason game. Your thoughts on Andy Dalton? I mean, on Blaine Gabbert.
Blaine Gabbert, yeah.
Yeah. But a couple of things I want to talk about first, Mike. And, of course, we'll get to the calls at 201-939-4513. The way we plugged the show on Twitter today is that we want Giant fans to call in and tell us if there's one thing the Giants – have to do this year if they want to repeat as Super Bowl champions. What is that one thing, Mike? For you, what is that one thing?
Win the Super Bowl.
Well, how do they go about winning the Super Bowl?
Man, there's so many things. You know, in football, you can't ever really say one thing. I guess to me, you know, it always starts with the quarterback, with Eli Manning, and he's just got to keep playing at a high level and stay healthy. You know, during the course of a long football season, so many things happen, injuries, you play well one week, you know, you're not as good the next week. But I think your quarterback has to really rise to the occasion as Eli Manning has in the past. And, you know, I still think there are a lot of variables in a football league, a football game in the National Football League. But I still think you're as good as your quarterback is. And you go as far as your quarterback can take you.
And I realize this might be a bit oxymoronic because they did it last year. But I think the Giants will have to run the ball a little bit better than they did in 2011. It was something they really got a little bit better at the year went along, but it still wasn't where it needs to be for this Giant team to be balanced on offense, which you all know Coach Coughlin wants.
Yeah, you know, the Giants were the first team to ever finish last in the NFL in rushing and win the Super Bowl. So obviously it's very difficult to do that. And one of the goals the Giants have and Tom Coughlin has talked about is they have to run the ball better this year. They were all, I don't know if embarrassed is quite the word, but they were all upset and unhappy that they finished last in the NFL in rushing yardage.
All right, let's go to the phones at 201-939-4513 and lead off the show with Susan in Bohemia. Susan, good morning.
Good morning, John. Morning, Michael.
Good morning.
John, I didn't get a chance to listen to your broadcast yesterday until later last night,
mm-hmm.
but I thought you went way too easy on Toomer for his comments on Eli and Romo. Toomer didn't only say statistically that he thought Romo was better, but he said he was the best quarterback in the NFC East. And when Tim Ryan said to Toomer that he would take Eli over Romo if he was starting his own team, Toomer replied, and I quote, he said, "That's fair, but I'm talking about for me. If I wanted a guy that is going to throw less interceptions, be more productive, which how could Eli be more productive than he was, and a higher completion percentage, I'm going with Romo." And then he went on to say, which really galled me later the next day when Michael Kay interviewed him, and he pointed out about Eli's production in big moments, that it was better than Romo's. Toomer had the gall to say that it was because Eli had a better team around him. Well, apparently Toomer didn't do as good research on Eli and the Giants as he did with Romo, because if he did, he would know that the Giants' running game ranked last, so Eli had no support from them, that the defense was ranked, I think, like 17 until the last few games of of the season. But the O-line was a revolving door where half the dropback snaps Eli was getting was at his ankles and the other half was above his head. That he sacked more than double the amount of times he was last year, and that number probably would even have been higher than that if it wasn't for Eli's ability to read the defense and him being more mobile in the pocket. And then his receivers had their injuries. And for every great play Manningham had, well, he blew around 9 plays because running the wrong routes and still dropping the ball. So it was Eli that carried the team for most of the season. And in all reality, I think he should have been the league's MVP because without him, they wouldn't even have made it to the Super Bowl. I mean, it's bad enough that Eli is disrespected by his peers by being ranked 31st on that stupid NFL plays ranking where any quarterback that won 2 Super Bowls and 2 Super Bowl MVPs and carried the team and was so clutch that entire year, you know, he would have been ranked in probably the top 5. But now he's being disrespected by his own teammates, or ex-teammate now. But, I mean, that's really shameful. And above all, Tilma has called a distraction, and he caused a controversy and has thrown more undue pressure on Eli because now he has to go out there and prove himself that he's a better quarterback than Romo. And you know that first game of the season, it's no longer going to be Dallas versus the Giants. It's going to be Romo versus Eli. And you know the media buzzes are going to be circling on that, which is totally ridiculous because it's always the quarterback against the opposing defense, not quarterback against quarterback. So Tumo, I'm sorry. You know, he could defend Romo all he wants, but you don't throw Eli under the bus. Tumo was disrespectful, he was unloyal, and that has totally lost my respect for him and for him both as an analysis and as a Giant. So I'm sorry, but I don't even want Tumo near the stadium, and when his face goes up on that board, I am not going to be cheering for him.
Well, thank you, Susan. We're out of time.
Susan, I got to tell you, that was our best call of the offseason, and I can't disagree with really anything you said. And, no. Yeah, you know what? And I admit, I took a little bit of a soft stance on Tumor yesterday, but I think you're 100% right. To say that you'd rather have Tony Romo as your quarterback at this point than Eli Manning, you know, 2 years ago you could probably have the conversation. Now, after last season, you really can't have that conversation right now. And I just don't know what the motivation was for Amani to really make that statement, which was voluntary.
Yeah, you know,
yeah.
The only thing I could add, really, and I don't know what it is, I've always thought Amani is a good guy. He just seems, since he left the Giants, sort of starved for attention almost. Like, he's got to do what he can to stay in the spotlight. And I remember he made a controversial comment about another subject that I can't remember what it was right now. Shockey, when he
called him the worst teammate he ever had, right?
Yeah, right,
like
worst
that.
Teammate
yeah.
he ever had. So, I don't know, Amani Toomer just seems like he wants to stay in the public eye for some reason, I don't know what that reason is. But, yeah, I mean, anyone obviously connected with the Giants would sharply disagree with his comments. And I don't understand, as someone who, you know, received the Alumni Man of the Year Award, who left on fairly good terms. I mean, he was upset
right.
that he wasn't used as much as he was in 2008, his last year, but he had clearly slowed down, who has been, you know, part of the broadcast, our huge broadcast team at times. I just don't know why he would do that and want to, you know, burn bridges like that. Especially,
yeah.
You know, if it wasn't for Eli Manning, Amani Toomer would not have a Super Bowl ring.
Amen. Amen to that. And, I mean, look at Strahan. I mean, Strahan backed him with support of Eli. You just don't do that. You can defend Romo all you want, but you just... You know, just don't say anything about Eli then. I mean, you don't do that. And you know what? It really upset me, too. And I know, John, yesterday you said something about, well, you know, it doesn't bother Eli. Well, let me tell you, he's human. It's not that it doesn't bother him. He doesn't make it bother him. And, you know, I remember one time, I think it was right after the last Super Bowl, not the last Super Bowl, the first Super Bowl, Mike Francesa was interviewing Eli. And Mike Francesa says to Eli, he says, well, I guess, Eli, now you're not going to see those signs in Giants Stadium anymore that says I've been adopted or, you know, I wish I was Peyton. And he goes, you probably didn't even see that, he said to Eli. And Eli said, and I'm not kidding, he said it just like this. He says, oh, I saw them. I mean, like, yeah, I heard it. I felt them. I mean, they stunk, he says. And then, of course, though, Eli in his way, in his great way, unselfish way, says, you know, but I'm focused and I want to just help this team win more games. So as a person, too, you don't do that. You know, I mean, that's really cruel. And it's just sad that they keep doing this. And, you know, yeah, I know he's a great guy and he tries to, you know, not that it bothers him, but it does. And it just really bothers me that supposedly a good friend that they're supposed to be. I mean, Amani said, you know, well, he's I love Eli. He's a great guy. But that's, you know, that doesn't hold true. I'm sorry. That just really bothers me. So. And that's it.
Susan, that's fair. Susan, thank you very much for the call. Great stuff as always. And you know what? I think, Mike, you made a great point. When you're trying to break into broadcasting, which really, Amani, he does stuff for us, but he's still trying to make that next step, you know, do ESPN, do some national stuff. I think a lot of times these guys feel pressured into making statements like these.
Right.
So they get some attention and maybe they can get a bigger gig or, you know, take that next step in your career after football. And I would not be surprised if that was part of the calculation here.
I would almost expect it. I mean, it's just, to me, there's no rational reason why he would say something like that. excuse me. I mean, I don't like comparing players to begin with, but if you're going to do it with Eli Manning and Tony Romo, I mean, just look at their resumes as far as, you know, the most important statistic for a quarterback is one loss record. Look! Just compare those two. Compare head to head. Recently, I mean, Eli's 3-0 in the new Cowboys Stadium. He's won 2 Super Bowls. He's what, 8-3 in the playoffs? I think Romo is 1-1.
Yeah, 1-3, I think.
Yeah. So, you know, to me, this really isn't so much about Eli Manning and Tony Romo. It's about Amani Toomer trying to get some attention to himself.
And Susan made a good point. If Amani Toomer wants to go out there and say, look, Tony Romo's a good quarterback, people get on him unfairly, and, you know, he's better than people say, it's not his fault the Cowboys haven't made the playoffs, that's fair. In a lot of ways, he gets the same treatment now that Eli Manning got before he won his Super Bowl. So that would have been fair, but to make the comparison to Eli Manning at this point in their two careers, it just doesn't hold a whole lot of
weight. No, it looks silly, I think.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what happens as we get closer to the season. 201-939-4513. John and Tom's River has a tough act to follow. What's up, Tom? John, how are you, pal?
Pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Good, John.
Doing well, John.
Well, the one key to Giants repeating this year, in my opinion, is the defense.
In what way?
Well, better execution, in my opinion. Better linebacker production this year.
Well, certainly the linebackers have room to, you know, a lot of room for improvement. But, you know, it kind of, I don't really know what word I'm looking for, but, you know, people kind of focus on the negative. Fans often focus on the negative. I prefer to look at the fact that the Giants have the best defensive line in the NFL. And as long as those guys stay healthy, they're going to cover up for a lot of whatever deficiencies the linebackers have. And I think the defensive line really got to play well as it did last year. I mean, if JPP continues to improve and OC and Tuck stay healthy, I mean, there's no team in the NFL that has 3 defensive ends like that. So, you know, I would prefer to look at our strengths instead of worrying about our weaknesses.
And I look at it a different way, too. He says, you know, the defense is the key. And really, the defense was the key last year because the Giants' defense for the first 13 weeks of the season stunk up the joint. It was bad. They were ranked last in the league. They were terrible. But as the defense turned things around those last few games of the regular season, they pitched a shutout against Atlanta in the playoffs, and they really went from there. The defense getting their act together, Mike, had a whole lot to do with the Giants turning their season around and winning the Super Bowl.
Oh, there's no question. If the defense had played in the postseason as it had played in the regular season, the Giants would not have won the Super Bowl. There was a tremendous improvement in the regular season, and sometimes, you know, it takes time. In the last 2 Super Bowl seasons, the Giants' defense has started poorly and really improved. Now, in 2007, they were easily last in the league after 2 games. The improvement started a little earlier. Last year, it took time for the defense to gel a little bit. I mean, you have to remember they really, I think a part of the turnaround was when Chase Blackburn showed up late in the year and kind of solidified that defense. He didn't play his first game until December 4th. So when Chase got in there, you get a smart veteran who knows what he's doing, knows the defense. I think that really helped turn things around. And sometimes that's what it takes. It just took a lot of time.
And really, the secondary stopped making big mistakes. How many times in the first 12 weeks of the year did we see a guy running free for a 60-yard touchdown? Everybody's looking at each other like, you, me, who, you, where, me, you, where are we supposed to go? I don't know. Where are you? I don't know. What was the play? And, you know, and that got fixed.
I think part of that was, although he had his share of mistakes, you know, Prince came back, and though he didn't play a lot, he was a first-round draft choice who had time to study the defense during his absence, and he played, you know, reasonably well. I think that's why people are looking for big things from Prince this year.
since we're looking at this, I want to bring up a different Giants here. I know, obviously, Michael, big San Francisco Giant fan. You must enjoy that All-Star game last night an awful lot, huh?
It was a Giants fest, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yeah. Between Matt Cain starring the game, which I'm sure a lot of Mets fans aren't happy about, but then, you know, Melky with the big hit, Pablo Sandoval,
who, you know, another Met Giant thing because a lot of people thought David Wright should have started the game. But
yeah, that fan's probably not a big fan of you right now, actually.
Yeah, and Sandoval proved that he is a you know, he came through in the clutch, and Melky Cabrera is just having a great season. Unfortunately, he's going to be a free agent after this year, and Giants probably won't be able to hold on to him.
Yeah, but obviously always fun watching the All-Star game, Major League Baseball. A lot more entertaining than the NFL one in my case, but I still don't like the idea of trying to make this thing count for something. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. You're like pinch hitting. They got the American League got the bases loaded, and they're pinch hitting Ian Kinsler for Robinson Cano, the hottest hitter in the American League. And you're telling me this game counts?
I know. You know, it's ridiculous, but, you know, that's what Bud Selig wanted to try to make it relevant again. I mean, look, the game was over in 10 minutes. It was 5-0 top of the first. After that, it was an exercise in tedium.
201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. All right, Mike, this is the last time we're going to have a chance to chat before training camp starts. Both of us are off next week. Things you're watching heading into camp, what are the one to three things that you're really going to be keeping an eye on?
Well, early in training camp, throughout, I really like to look at the rookies. And this year, I would expand that to say not only the rookie class, David Wilson, Ruben Randall particularly, who were so good, I thought, in the mini camps, and let's see how they do in pads. But to me, the rookie class also includes, to a certain degree, Prince, who really only played half a year, Marvin Austin, who did not play at all last year, Gerald Jernigan, who did not catch a pass last year. To me, the Giants have 1.5 draft class this year, and you've got to keep getting productive young players into your system, and they've really got to help you, and those are the guys that I'm going to really keep an eye on. Because, you know, let's face it, we kind of know, you know, if Will Beatty comes back, we kind of know what the offensive line is going to be like. We certainly know who's going to be on the defensive line. We know the quarterback. You know, once, you know.
David Carr, obviously.
Yeah, David Carr. Ryan Perilou.
Yeah.
You know, Hakeem, while he won't do much, if anything, in training camp, but you know what you're going to get from him. You know, to me, the big difference in this team and the greatest possibility for improvement is in that young player, what I call the 1.5 draft class. So those are the guys I will be looking at, you know, especially. And I think if I had to pick one guy, I'm kind of interested. You know, everyone says the linebackers, Blackburn is set with, you know, Kiwanuka and Boley, but I want to see, you know, Keith Rivers was a 9th pick in the draft. And he had a tremendous talent in college. He had a great college career. He's, for whatever reason, injuries, he has not played up to that. But, you know, the people here think he's still a player who's very talented. I want to see what kind of role he's going to fit in, and can he work his way into the starting lineup. And if Chase, you know, struggles at all in training camp, you know, would they move Boley in to the middle and put Rivers on the weak side? You know, that's something I'll be watching.
They can always put Keith Rivers in the middle, too, and leave Boley
on
the weak side. So,
yep, there's a lot of possibilities.
I want to see the return game. I want to see who ends up winning the kick and punt return job. Is, for once, there's options.
Yeah. You know, no question. You know, and I can't remember the last time that the Giants had a lump-in-your-throat return guy, somebody who's really going to scare you. And it makes it so much harder when you're always – you have to travel long distances on offense to score touchdowns. And I agree. I'd like to see a guy like Jernigan, maybe Ruben Randall. I'd like to see Hixon get back doing that. But it's just somebody. It's been so long since the Giants scored a kickoff return or a punt return touchdown. You know, it's really time to do that.
Michael, we appreciate the time as always.
All right,
and we'll
John,
see you in Albany.
Have a good vacation.
All right, for Michael Eisen, for Susan the Bohemian, our third co-host, my name is John Schmelk. We'll see you next time on Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. We'll have shows tomorrow and Friday from 10 to 10:30. Next week we're off, and then we'll figure out what we're going to do up in training camp. That's still kind of up in the air. We'll see. But thanks for joining us, everybody. It's, of course, presented by Andrew Mark on Giants.com and on the Giants mobile app. Enjoy your day. See you tomorrow morning.